Am I on? Yep, we're on. We are still in Proverbs chapter 3. You know, I used to worry. Yeah, I used to worry about a Sunday school lesson going on, and maybe to the next week and into the next week. I try not to let that bother me anymore, even though some may say, well, you just keep going over the same old stuff. Well, I don't know. Seems to me like the same thought just needs to be brought out, maybe protracted, because our attentions are very short. Okay? Sometimes we don't pay attention as well as we should, and that'll get us in trouble. Okay? I have a fault. I'll announce these from now on. Got called into the office the other day, and the guy said, pointed out these things from the city of Spokane, and says, you were caught speeding through a school zone, which is bad for paratransit bus driver, you know, speeding through the school zone. Yes, I was caught speeding. Yes, it was by a whole lot, not by a little. It was a whole lot. Yeah. You can talk to the wife. She laughed at me. She's going to go online, and online you can go nowadays, and they can see, you know, your car go down the road and, you know, all the things that goes on. The last time this happened, I forgot to stop and hang a right-hand turn, and they caught me on that. That was a couple of years ago, and she saw it about 100 times. Every time I went through, and she, don't laugh at me like that. Well, look at honey, you didn't even stop. There's not even any tail light or a brake light. It says you slowed down. You just, okay. So after the 100th time, I unplugged the computer and I said, no, no more. But I did. Why? And you may think this is a redundant thing. I've been doing this for about 5 years, 5.5 years now, that maybe I ought to be paying more attention. Okay. How many of... And I'm not going to ask for hands, but I'm going to ask you, how many of you guys go ahead and, before you start throwing stones and stuff, all of a sudden look down, oh my gosh, I am speeding. Or I've done something illegal. I've passed on the right instead of passing on the left. Or, like the guys do on the, we have breakup limits on Highway 53 from Rathdrum. And these guys will pass in a turn lane, in a double yellow line. These guys will pass dangerously. You know, some of them are quick about it, and some of them just, oh, we're passing. Why, this oncoming car has to almost go into the ditch. It's like, this is ridiculous, okay? But it's the idea of paying attention. Sometimes we get distracted, don't we? Okay? Stephen, before he was stoned, was telling the people, save yourself from this crooked generation. He wasn't talking about salvation. He was talking about setting yourselves apart, that God said, my people should be separate from the world. And not teaching the vain traditions of men as my doctrine. Okay? Sometimes we get distracted and we fail to stick to the Word of God. We get distracted about by things that are happening in the world. Do you ever notice? Anybody know what a prepper is? It's a person that believes that there's a doomsday coming and they're going to prepare for it. Which, I'll tell you, in a lot of instances, a lot of them, we need to be prepared for it. In here, we could have a snowstorm come across here, shut the passes all the way around, and the stores only have food for 3 days, max. Okay? Can you outlist? Snoqualmie was closed for 4 or 5 days this past winter? Every time they got up, oh no, it's still closed. Well, there's trucks piling up over there and they can't get the goods over here. Some of them went down to 84 and then came up the back route. It's like, you know, that takes forever, by the way. And it's like, oh man, what are we going to do? I didn't worry. I got beans and rice, you know. But it's one of those things, yeah. But sometimes we get distracted by what's going on in the world and we think, oh, I got to prepare for this. I got to do this, which is a good, smart thing. But they overdo it. Okay. Mount St. Helens, there were a lot of people that wish they were more prepared for that. Okay. Which the Bible tells us to be prepared. But part of that preparation is a lot of prayer to Him to give us wisdom. Wisdom, the right way to do things and how to do things and set up things in our life. Okay? The wisdom, knowing when to argue with somebody and when to back off. Okay? Because sometimes there are times that we need to stand up and stand for the Word of God and argue with somebody. And it's not argue, you just, what do they call that in school? Huh? No. They got a special course that you take for the defending of the faith. I forget what that's called now. Not debate. It's in colleges, Christian colleges. Apologetics. That's the word. I'm going to take apologetics. Why? So that way you know how to argue your point to defend the faith. No, a lot of times it's just arguing the point. But we got to know when we need to do that and when we need to just slack off just a little bit. Okay? Somebody that's lost on the edge of being saved, we don't need to be in their face. Let the Holy Spirit do its job. But we ask God for wisdom on how we do that. Okay? I know when I was first saved, when they taught us this stuff, this is how you do it, blah, 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 go out. I run a lot of people off. It's one reason I don't do a lot of visitation in my older age, because it seems like our visitation programs that I've ever gotten involved with, our visitors stop coming. And that's when I learned I need to stop doing something on the front there, you know, on somebody's doorstep, or do more of something. But it always seemed that we, even here when I first joined here, visitation program, doing that, and then all of a sudden it's like people stop coming. It's like, stop going on visitation, they start coming back. It's like, wow. Makes you feel inferior, give you a complex or something. But it's one of those things. We should ask God to help us so we don't be distracted. So we are not off chasing things. Okay? So we are not separated from the truth of God. Okay? Jesus had to tell the Sadducees and Pharisees, hey, you guys teach traditions of men for the Scripture, and that ain't right. You are distracted with your own things. The Sadducees, they didn't believe in spiritual things. That's why they were sad, you see. Sorry. Well, they didn't believe in everlasting life. Somebody, the Pharisees had their things. The scribes, oh, they just copied the Word of God. No, no, no. The scribes even said, we handle the Word of God daily. We're special people. The lawyers come up, try to entrap Jesus and the other guys all the time. They were distracted by their own self-worth or something. We need to get back to what the Word of God says. And encourage one another. You know, after you're saved, yeah, there's a lot of things we need to know. I don't know about you, I'm still learning. But there was a lot of things I needed to know. You know, when I was lost, I said, okay, woman, abort the baby. That's fine, you know. Now I learned, hey, God knows you from the womb. Scripture says God was there when you were conceived. God knew your name. He has a place for you. And if you go ahead and kill that child, you're killing the child. You're killing a soul. It's like, yeah. Took me a little bit to get that through my head. Took me a little bit to get to know that we shouldn't be drinking. Okay? Modern Christianity says, oh, drink until, you don't have to be drunk, get drunk. You know, drink it, so you, but don't get drunk. Well, for some people, all it takes is sniffing some sort of whiskey. I mean, and people just, whoa, they get lightheaded. They're already intoxicated. Okay? And it's one of those things we got to know by reading the Word of God and say, this is Scripture, don't drink. If you drink in front of the king, you might as well put your hand on, take your own life in your hand and slit your own throat. That's Proverbs. Okay? Because now you're doing something stupid. Okay? When you look at the alcohol in the glass, it moves itself aright. It's like a living, breathing entity of its own, but in the end, it's like a serpent. How many people are surprised when a snake bites you? No, that's a snake, you know? My son was out playing with a garter snake. They're not poisonous. It's cool. He thought it was cool. He was handling it. It was cool. And it was trying to, you know, it wanted to get away because they don't like being held. And turned around and bit him. And he went like this. And he was going to, no, don't you dare. it told you, gave you plenty of signs it wanted to get away. You just need to leave it alone. You got to be smart. Don't play with the snake. Don't play with spiders. Yeah? I used to play with spiders. Had a tarantula as a pet. It's like, as long as you kept it fed, it wouldn't bite you. That's the key. Anyway, there are some things that we as Christians should not play with or dally around with. There's some attitudes we shouldn't have in our heart and mind that are go against completely against the Word of God. Okay? And as such, we need to ask prayer, ask that wisdom from God to know the difference between the right and the wrong. Ask God to tell, ask the Holy, to tell the Holy Spirit to convict us when we're wrong. I don't know how many times I have gone to God, God, there's a difference between me and that brother or that sister or that person. Be between us. And if I'm wrong, change my attitude. And if they're wrong, change their attitude. Praying for both. But all of this takes wisdom. Wisdom which is lacking. Okay? I don't know about you, Pastor. Well, I think he has. After giving a lesson or teaching something from the pulpit, people come up and say, you can't tell me what to do. You're not my boss. You're not the boss of me. They sound like they're that old. Haven't you? Same with me. Well, you can't teach that because you can't tell me what to do. Sure, I can't. Honest. I cannot tell you what to do. I can tell you what the Bible says. One thing that I believe is lacking in churches is where Paul is talking about getting along in church. The older women teach the younger women. The older men teach the younger men on how to behave. How to be a husband, how to be a wife, a loving wife, how to be a father to children, how to be a mother to children. Did you know? My kids, when they went to school, they were given a child class. They were asked to teach something as a child, treat something, oh, I forget. You get an object and you treat it like a child. Or they give you a doll and treat it like a child. Why? Because nobody knows how to treat a child anymore. They have these classes on in public school. Why? Because the parents aren't teaching them how to treat how to raise children. So they need this special class. Okay? Christians, you don't know everything, do you? Okay? If any of you say, yeah, I know, I got it licked, I got it made, you have deceived yourself. Okay? And I'll put that out there. If you think you got anything made, you've deceived yourself. You really have. Because God says there are some things. Now, there are some things we should have settled. This is not a contradiction, by the way. There are some things we should have settled. That I trust Jesus above all things. I trust Jesus with my life. I trust God with everything. I trust, you know, there's some things we should have settled. But other things, man, we need to watch out for. We need to have that wisdom. We need to be taught. Okay? I have, and this is probably a fault of mine, I have very few friends, my age or older, that I can go to and ask questions about faith, about getting older, about stuff like that. It would do me no good to go talk to a 20-year-old. They don't have the same physical old people stuff, old men, old women stuff, you know, things that are going on. And the one reason for that is because a lot of my friends that I had that were older than me, they've died. I've outlived them. And it's like, no, then who am I going to go to? Because, you know, the Word of God says one thing, but in application, you know, how do we bring that into the life? How do we embrace that so that way I may grow? And the biggest problem is that when older women, pastors, or even pastors and teachers, try to teach, who do you think you are trying to teach me, tell me something? What kind of attitude is that? You know, the older women and the older men should be about teaching the younger in a Christ setting, in the church setting. Teaching the younger people, hey, you need to find your place in the church. Hey, you need to come along and fellowship one with another. Why? Because you can't stand alone. We can't. We need brothers and sisters standing next to us. There's an apt example in the book of Nehemiah where they are building the walls, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. One guy is building, he's doing the bricks and stuff, he's got a sword in his hand and he's got the trowel in the other. Both tools, by the way. The other guy next to him got the sword in one hand and the trowel or working next to him, next to each other. The next one's working and I'm changing hands, sword in one hand and trowel in the other because he's probably left-handed. And he's, you know, doing the thing. They worked together side by side, encouraging one another as they worked, as they prepared, as they defended each other. Okay? They were ready to defend each other. You don't find that in churches these days. In churches, you find people that go around like buzzards, picking somebody that's weak and separated and zeroing in on that person. And all because that person won't stay with the flock. To be encouraged. If you look at our roles, people that come here for church, we have what, roughly not even a half? Because we don't see the need of us meeting together. It's that way in a lot of churches. Sunday morning, they may have 85% people there. Sunday night, they only have 25% of the people. Because they think, I don't need it. I can stand, I don't need further teaching. I don't need especially that teacher. I'm not going to come to church that day because they're preaching today. It used to be that way. When pastors leave, you know, and I don't know why they want me to preach. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not eloquent. I don't dress well. I don't snazzy, you know. It's not. I go up there to teach, and it's like half the people are there. The people that are normally there are gone. Gives you a complex. Actually, probably not so much a complex, because I'm not smart enough to be complex. It gives me a simplex, you know, simple-minded. But it's like, oh, come on. And not just me, but when the pastor goes in a lot of churches, and whoever fills in, some people don't go, well, because pastor is not pastor. Heck, I haven't had a church that when pastor left and moved to Northern California, they followed him, moved to Northern California with him. What is that? They abandoned the church. They did not consider the things in this church to be worthy of it. They did not consider the fellowship of one with another to be worth getting out. That's why I hate it when a Christian says, or even a pastor, well, I'll never put myself in that situation again. How many times have you heard that from pastors? They put their heart out there for the people, which they're supposed to do. Man, Brother Wally, the first time I met him, which is how I got introduced to Faith Promise. I fought Faith Promise for a long time. But I got to know Brother Wally. He really, and when he talks about being back home, he's talking about being back in the Philippines. When Mrs. Wally talks about being back home, getting with the people, she's talking about being with the church people over there. That was their home. That was where they considered to be with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Wow. In a people that were not like them. Okay, he was short like most Filipinos. Okay, he's short. Okay. Sorry. But he's not like most. You can pick him out in a crowd, though, in a group of Filipinos. Okay. Didn't speak hardly a Filipino when he first got there, but speaks it pretty good now. That's my home because the heart God put to there. And I hate it when a pastor or somebody in church says, I'll never put my heart like that to be heard again. They have just abandoned the fellowship with one to another. Yeah. My wife and I have been hurt by friends by people that we thought were friends. It's like, well, they're not even of us now. It's like, okay. Heck, big thing happened in church, and people sided with them rather than us. And it's like, you know, you guys don't know what you're doing. And time worked out where we were vindicated. But it's still like, you know, I try hard not to tell, or to tell myself I'm not going to put myself out there. Sunday school is hard, by the way. It really is. Okay? Because first of all, you got to get over being nervous. I am nervous as a cat on a tin roof. Or a, what's the other one? Cat on a hot tin roof. A cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Okay? I really am. I sweat profusely. Up there singing, I sweat profusely. Okay, the collars of my shirts and everything get damaged because I sweat profusely. Because I am nervous as I'll get up, get standing up and saying stuff to you guys. As a matter of fact, I got to dry my mouth right now because I know that in a lot of places that I would, if I would have taught this lesson, it would not be accepted well. There's only three of you, and my wife loves me no matter what, so there's only three of you, so I'm not so much afraid, huh? Okay, five, that's right, because she's still, hi. But it's like one of those things, it's like, you know, the fear, we have this thing because we're not relying on God. Yes, that's a fault of mine. I'm not relying on God for it. Okay. We seek the wisdom in all of Solomon's writings in the first couple of chapters. Seek wisdom. Seek after wisdom. Seek after the things. Seek after first the things of God. Jesus told us that. Seek ye first the things of God. And then everything else you desire will be added unto that. Okay? Everything will be changed. Your attitude, your fears, your worries. You know? The golden rule says to treat others as you want to be treated. And sometimes we don't treat others like we want to be treated because we're afraid of what of the repercussions, if there is any repercussions. I've seen people. We had a church. We visited a church. This was a church we visited for a while, a couple of times. Big church. Okay. Church would be starting. We start the first song and everything, and they wouldn't come to Sunday school, but a couple of people would come and sneak in the back. And then for a long time, I thought they were visitors to the church. You know, they didn't know what them found out they're members. They sneak. They sit in the back. When the pastor gets ready to say the closing prayer, they're out the door. They're afraid to get close. Found out they were members for years. And it's like, wow. They're afraid of getting hurt, afraid of, I don't know, fellowship, afraid of opening up, afraid of being laughed at, I don't know. When you look like me, people laugh at you. So you get used to it. And it's like, wow. But seek wisdom, seek God first. Man, and oftentimes the fellowship in church suffers. Because everybody says, oh, I'm going to be about my own thing. Okay? And what I do doesn't affect anybody else. Ooh, lie of the devil. Red alarm should come up and say, oop, 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 something's wrong. Because we're all of one body. Paul tells us in numerous places. And if I have to go over it with any of you guys here who have been in church in a while, then you didn't learn the lesson. Paul says we are of one spirit, the same Holy Spirit within each other. Okay, so when we come and we talk and we fellowship, that Holy Spirit bonds us with each other. That Holy Spirit comes over and gives us warm fuzzies for each other. Okay. People have got so hurt that they do not want that anymore. And it's like, oh, come on, you got to put yourself out there. Why? Because Jesus did. For people that hated him. He put himself out there, and these guys went to pick up stones one time, and it's a good thing Jesus being God, he disappeared. It actually said he went through the crowd, but he disappeared. Yeah. Jesus also told us, if you're going to be my people, if you're going to be my disciples, and you start teaching, if they treated the master this way, how are they going to treat you? How do they treat Paul? stoned. And he's got that big long list. Stoned, shipwrecked, whipped. How many times? Three times with 39 save one? People were out to get him. A group of 40 people said, "We're not going to eat. We're going to fast until Paul is dead." I wonder how many of them were serious. Because they didn't kill Paul. You ever wonder that? One time I was reading that, I said, well, I wonder how many of these people were serious about that. Or did they eat something just to stay alive? You know, it's like, you know, and all who will live godly are going to suffer persecution. Even from your own brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we don't take the time to teach. And when we do, they say, "You can't teach me. You're not my daddy. You're not my mama. You're not this. You're not my boss. You're not the boss of me." I have a group of kids, a couple of groups of kids. They're not kids. Cognitively challenged community. They live in that same house. There's one spot I pick up four girls, five girls sometimes. Take them to the same place. They live together. They go to the same daycare together. They go to the same thing together. And sometimes they just pick on each other. It's like, wow. They just bicker back and forth. And I'm the bus driver. I am the captain of my bus. I say, "Ladies, stop picking on each other." "Oh, we're not. We love each other." It's okay. Yeah, well, then why is the one that you're picking on crying back there? It's like, come on. Churches are like that. Oh, yeah, they tell them, "Well, you're supposed to do this to the seatbelt. You're not the boss of me." Okay. It's sad that it happens in churches. Where God's people are supposed to follow the Spirit of God. The leading of the Holy Spirit. Listening to when the Spirit's taught. I wonder how many people back in the day, "Oh, Paul's preaching tonight. I'm not going to be there. I'm going to go home." And then they missed when Eutychus fell out the window and Paul went down and, "Oh, he's dead, Paul. What are we going to do? This, here, raise him back up to life and we go upstairs and preach some more. Listen to the Word of God some more." Do you think Eutychus sat in the window again? No. I bet you he was on the floor. He says, "I'm not going to be by that window again. That's not Paul's fault. That's my fault." But I bet there were some people there, "Well, Paul, he's not very, you know, he's just unappealing. He's just, you know, and who wants to be as spiritual as Paul?" And all that stuff. It's like, and they stayed home and they missed the blessing. The all-night blessing of God as he was preaching, using Paul to teach them about God, about the coming things, about what's going to happen. Not eschatology, which is the study of end things, but of life that's going to happen now. And from here forward, this is what's going to happen in your life, Christian, as you search, as you seek to serve God and everything. This is how it's going to play out. And how many people say, "Well, Pastor, you're not my boss. You know, you don't tell me what to do." And they miss it because they've shut off their hearing aids. They stop listening. And they start doing this number. Or they'll be so bold as in the middle of the service, they will turn around and look at the clock. Stare at the clock and then turn around and you know they're not listening. You've seen it numerous places, haven't you? People just kind of, "Well, where's the clock in the auditorium?" "Oh, we don't have one. I've been a couple. We don't have a clock in it because people are clock watchers." "Well, how am I going to know what time it is?" No, you just have to trust that the service will end when God is done. Amen to that. And what we've gone over the last couple of weeks in Proverbs chapter 3, talking about seeking God, seeking the things of God. Verse 21, "My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom. And they shall be life unto thy soul. Thou shalt walk in the way, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, ye shall not be afraid. Yea, when thou liest down, thy sleep shall be sweet." You know what leads me to believe that that's not happening in societies these days? The number of sleep aids that are out there. Think about it. I mean, NyQuil's got their sleep aid. Oh, it's non-alcoholic, all this stuff, you know. Melatonin's been out for years. Oh, smell lavender and change the lights. I mean, they got the thing where you got all these lights and smells that you got to put in for the half hour before you fall asleep. They got all kinds of sleep aids to help you go to sleep faster and stay asleep. The one pill, yeah, go to sleep faster and stay asleep longer. In the old days, it used to be a shot of whiskey. That was it. It's like, wow. And some people in the old days, hey, have a warm cup of coffee. What about the caffeine? Well, it doesn't bother me. I can drink a cup of coffee before going to bed and go to bed. Not a problem. Okay? But it's, you know, yeah. Sometimes as Christians, our sleep, it eludes us. And we start looking, man, maybe I should do this. Maybe no, just pray God. Go to God in prayer about these things. If there's something you're being anxious about, leave it with God. Pray and leave it with God. If there's something, yeah, that just keeps your mind, that you just got to worry about, let God handle it. He's got bigger shoulders than we do. Your sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of wicked when it cometh. For God, because God, or because the Lord shall be thy confidence, thou shalt keep thy foot from being taken. Wow. To trust God that much. I remember the first time I injured my body and I work, and I couldn't work. I dropped a water heater on my hand, 1,000-gallon water heater, had no water. Thank God it had no water. I'd have been lost some fingers. I mean, fingers would have just... I cut one tendon and killed another, and so they had to re-sew. 2 months, I was out. For those 2 months, you can't do anything. I'm right-handed. One time, I was very right-handed. When that happened, I learned to use my lefty. I could even write. Had a test in plumbing school, wrote that thing out. It was illegible. It'd all get out, but I wrote it. I took longer than anybody else did because I was careful. I was sweating after that test. It's like, you know, when I handed it in, it says, sorry, man, I'm right-handed. Oh, you did your best. Okay. I actually passed the test, by the way. It was good. But the first time it happened, it's like, and then workman's comp, because I did it on job, thank God. Workman's comp doesn't pay you diddly. It doesn't pay you what to do. Plus, I could get overtime, and it wasn't paying me overtime. It's like, well, I don't see how people stay off of work on workman's comp because you don't make anything. And yet people milk it. I don't know. But you learn to trust God. I hope this isn't a permanent thing. If my right hand got crippled, I could probably still talk because you need both hands to talk, or you need, you know, at least one hand to talk. I couldn't drive. Wouldn't be able to. Couldn't do my work. I'd have to ask people to help me around the house. Ooh, I'd have to ask help for help. Ooh, that's tough. Over the years, because of things, I've had to ask my wife for help. That's tough. But then the Bible got a hold of my heart. God said, you know, this is a help that's fit for you. A help that you need. And you're going to treat her like that? Ooh. I've apologized to her many times for that. But the Lord shall be thy confidence. And when we have confidence in God in our life changes. It really does. It changes. You go from being a teacher who, at one time when I taught, I wrote everything down. And when I taught a lesson, I spoke everything there, didn't move, didn't know everything, hardly had any inflections, you know, kind of like... Now I'm just kind of all over the place. People don't like that. People didn't like that, and they don't like this. So there's no pleasing people. But the The Lord will be your confidence. When God's your real confidence and you have real trust and faith in Him, your life changes. The things of this world are no longer appealing. They're no longer a distraction to you. And you no longer go, oh, I should have been doing that. Oh, I missed that. I could have had a V8. No, it's like our life changes when we're not distracted from the things of God. And then he goes on. We're almost out of time. Withhold not good. This is a new paragraph in the writings. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power to do so. Or to hand, within the power of thy hand to do it. Well, how does that compare to that? Well, when God's your confidence, people can ask you for help. People can ask you for something, but you don't worry about it. I've had over the years, people ask me, lend them a little money for stuff. When it first happened, can I trust them to pay it back? You know, it's like, well, I might need that money too, you know, or, you know. And now, my brother asked me for money last year. I don't know, it's been a while. I'll pay it back when I get things. Okay, don't worry about it. Gave him the money. Haven't worried about it. If he pays it back, If he doesn't pay it back, it's fine. Yeah. I don't worry about it. Because it was in my hand to do so. Because God is my confidence. God is the one I trust in. And He has entrusted me with money. He has entrusted me with houses. He has entrusted me with whatever things He has entrusted me with. And He demands, expectation is laid upon me to be a wise steward of those things He's given. My wife and I have a prayer that of the things that God gives, that we are wise to use them correctly. Okay? To use them not for our profit, but for God. It's amazing how that works out. People ask me, well, you live so far away. How do you afford the gas? Not my money. We pray for jobs. Our jobs are here. Our home is there. Probably in the last 20 years of being here, at least. Actually, this is 23rd year being here. We have thought maybe 5 minutes overall considered about moving here. It has just not been on us to move over here. Could we save a lot of money for gas? Yeah. Well, like I said, it's not my money. We budgeted in, and God says, hey, this will suffice. Okay, God. Because if I had that money that I would save if I lived closer, what would I spend it on? I'd find something, that's for sure. You know, it's like, wow. And maybe that something would not be what God wanted me to spend it on. It's like, dang. God has His way. But He's talking about a brother. If God's your confidence, did you know that your relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ will be different? I don't trust them for my well-being. I trust God. And I am not here for me. I am here for you guys. Of all the notes and things that I got over the years of being a teacher, I don't worry about that because I go praying to God, God, is that true or not? God hasn't ever said, hey, you need to listen to that one. A lot of them I look at and I go, huh? I gave one to Pastor recently, and he looked at it and go, huh? He's like, I don't know where that's coming from. Well, if he don't know, then I don't know, and it's like, we're okay. Okay with who? With God. And that's the whole thing about this. It's got to be with God. God has got to be the one that is between us. That lubrication that we need so that when there's friction, it's not so bad. And that we can talk to each other and fellowship and have gladness in the Lord one with another. And we're out of time today. I'm quitting a little early. Last couple of weeks I've been quitting. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. And let's ask and expect a blessing on the services today.